Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake. Delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Steve Palazzolo, no better football analyst in America than Steve, no taller football analyst in America than Steve, joins us right now to break down this playoff game.
Do we know that for a fact, that last part? Do we know for a fact there's not like a pure seven-footer out there?
Sam used to claim that there was some Chicago beat writer who was my size, but we haven't seen him in years, so I'm claiming the title.
Can you imagine if you just found out like some other media company just hired like the equivalent of Mark Eaton to write about football, and then you not only were you usurped, but the guy would have like 6-7 inches in height on you.
Remember, WFAN in New York for Boomer and Geo had that intern that was 7'2".
Remember that picture
that went out of that kid?
Yeah, I do actually.
Yeah, Steve, that's the one guy, but he's not working in football media yet. So you need to like find out about him and try to make sure he doesn't get a job.
I'm the king so far. That I know of. I ran into a kid who used to play at UNC and then was in Game of Thrones as one of the monsters there named Neil Singleton. Okay. I ran into him one time. He was 7'5".
Are you aware, seven, Steve? That
whoa. And he's not working in football
he's not
media.
Working in football
just
media.
A bigger human.
No, no. I've run into people that are much taller than me.
Steve, speaking of tall people generally and Pittsburgh, I'm sure you have seen the classic Schwarzenegger vehicle Predator. Is that a safe assumption?
Yeah.
If it bleeds, we can kill it, all that good stuff. The guy who played the Predator was named Kevin Peter Hall. He was from Penn Hills around here, these parts. 7'3".
Jeez.
Yeah.
Didn't crazy. Play he was like a, he was a thespian. I don't think he played basketball or anything. I think he was just a theater actor.
All right, Steve. Let's start with this question for the game Monday night. Who has the edge at quarterback, the Texans or the Steelers, and why?
Oh man, I think Rodgers, like the second half of the season, Rodgers, some of the command of the offense. I mean, it's like a week to week thing, right? I thought he was awful against the Browns. He was much better the other day, but maybe not even like the first three quarters. It's like, really, how many times can you get to a check down and an escort swing screen? But once they opened it up a little bit, it's like, all right, it's like he was jabbing for three quarters, and then they finally took a few shots, and he's able to execute them, Rodgers. So I'll give Rodgers and the Steelers the slight edge here. I don't always trust Stroud. It's similar, right? Stroud goes through these stretches where he's not feeling it. He's not seeing it, not seeing the field. He's not handling pressure that well, but he is capable of making big throws in high leverage situations. But I think Rodgers with DK Metcalf back, I would say, in a vacuum. I'd trust Rodgers in a one-game setting.
Houston's defense is second in the league in scoring and first in total defense. If there is a weakness in that group, where is it, Steve?
Well, the D-line's great. The two corners on the outside are great. Over the last couple of years, they haven't done this as much this year as they did last year. They will have some coverage busts on the back end. They did it early against the Colts last week, and then they put their backups in. Yeah, and so and it's like Kamari Lassiter wasn't playing. You know, every time he's gone out, he went out the week before against the Chargers, and Tre'Mont Smith, the backup, got picked on a little bit. So there's some corner depth issues, but they'll give you a couple opportunities to maybe hit a deep shot. And then I would say the linebacker level, just because they're so – I mean, and they're not bad there. They fly to the football. They've got the pass rush. They're one of the best teams of tying the pass rush and the coverage together. The reason why they create so much havoc is they rush the passer and they're just locked down on the back end. They just rush four and make life difficult for you. But I would say the linebacker level, and maybe the Steelers have an opportunity with their quick hitting passing game to maybe, you know, neutralize the two edge rushers, Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter, get the ball into space and, you know, just break a few tackles like they did against the Ravens. Now the Texans are a much better tackling team, but I think that's probably the best strategy. Get rid of the ball quickly and then pick your spots as far as how often you're going to take shots down the field.
The last three games, Steve, the Steelers have averaged over 6 yards a carry. That's the best in the NFL. They just don't run it that much because Aaron wants to throw it, and he wants to use the short pass as an extension of the run game. I bring that up because if you were ideally building a game plan to beat Houston, are you better off running it a bunch, or are you better off putting the ball in Aaron Rodgers' hands and just trusting him to make plays?
I'd probably want to run it on paper, but they're really good in that respect too. So I think it's probably the quick passing game. And this might be one of those games where, you know, him coming up to the line of scrimmage with a run play, checking out of it 100 times for dinking and dunking down the field could actually work. Now, you got to break some tackles here and there. You need Gainwell, you know, you need Warren, you need those guys to break some tackles and, you know, make some plays after the catch. But I think it's a combination of let him read it out, you know, run it when it's favorable, get it out of your hands when it's favorable. But I think it's trying to put those long sustained drives together, and the old cliche, you know, stay out of third and long. You absolutely have to stay out of third and long against this defense because they are so good on the back end and so good with that 4-man rush.
Steve, I think the conventional wisdom suggests that Steelers offense will have a hard time scoring against Texans defense for pretty obvious reasons where each unit ranks. Can the Texans score on the Steelers?
If they run those crossing routes that the Steelers couldn't figure out the other day, I mean, I would almost start with that. Like, hey, have you guys figured out communication on these over routes after last week? The Texans are a little hit or miss offensively. I mean, I think it's going to be a close, hard-fought game. You know, their offensive line got better as the year went on, but especially early in the season when they ran into good pass rushes, they were not holding up that well. And again, Stroud goes through these lulls. Like, you know, I go back. I think this might look similar to the Kansas City game. You know, maybe on both sides of the ball. If you watch Texans Chiefs on Sunday Night Football a few weeks back, it was 10-10 in the fourth quarter. The Texans were. I mean, the Chiefs don't throw the ball down the field. I don't think the Steelers will a lot. Maybe they you know feel one out early with DK down the field just to open things up a bit. But I think it looks similar. Like the Chiefs throwing the ball underneath. I think the Steelers would do something similar. And then Stroud, when he's under pressure, like he just went through a lot. They had like 6 straight drives where they just kept punting against the Chiefs in that game. And then out of nowhere, Stroud, creates that on a 3rd and long and makes it, you know, he'll make a tight window throw to Nico Collins. So that's where I think it's very similar. It honestly might come down to which quarterback makes one of those special 3rd and long type of plays in a close, hard-fought game. So, yeah, I think the Texans offense has some question marks against what should be a good pass rush.
Steve, when I know you're obviously looking at football, both history with PFF and now with the 33rd team, it's through an analytical lens a lot of the time. So I would imagine that when you hear historical stats about this franchise hasn't won a game on Monday Night Football in so many years, or the opposite, right? Or this team hasn't won a road game in so many years, maybe you would kind of turn a cross eye to that. But when you see that the Texans, who have existed now for almost a quarter century, have literally never won a road playoff game, to what degree do you put any stock in that as being a relevant part of this matchup?
So here's the thing with homemade meals. Eating them is great, but all the chopping and measuring and cleanup, not so much. With new one-pan assemble and bake meals from Blue Apron, you get all the flavor of homemade meals with a fraction of the work. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients, bake in the oven, and enjoy. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first 2 orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit BlueApron.com/terms for more.
You're right. I usually don't care about that stuff, but I do care about it when the Steelers are involved. Like, we had Pony on our show last week just to list out, give me all the Tomlin. Like, he's the most consistent coach ever. And so in Steelers-related games, those things matter. And the fact that I can't believe the Texans aren't playing Saturday afternoon. That's their spot, the 4:30 window in the playoffs. Yeah.
But the Chargers won down – the Panthers won down them by being 8-9 this year.
By being 8-9. Yeah. I mean, what a gift for the Steelers to get the 4-5 game on a Monday night where that's – you know, we've got the 73-0 first quarters going head-to-head with the Monday night. You never lose. This is – something's got to give here. It might matter a little bit for the Texans. I don't know if that particular one matters a ton. It's a – they're a different type of team, but they've done well in the wild card round the past couple of years. They blew out Cleveland. The defense dominated the Chargers last year. They've played well under D'Amico Ryans in this first round. So I think that probably matters more than the fact that it's on Monday night. But the Tomlin consistency, Monday night, playoffs, that stuff probably does come into play.
Steve, I'm going to give you a couple more rapid fire who's better, and I'm going to name a player for both teams, and you tell me who's better. You already gave me Rodgers over Stroud. Who's better, Fairbairn or Boswell?
Oh, kickers? Oh, geez.
Yep.
Boswell?
Nico Collins or DK Metcalf?
Nico.
Ooh.
He's really good.
Rank the four edge rushers. Highsmith, Watt, Hunter, Anderson.
Let's go Anderson, Watt, Hunter, Highsmith.
Here's one.
What if I threw Herbig in there? Would he be fifth, or would he leapfrog one of those guys?
He's probably got to be fifth, even though, you know, I'm a huge Herbig fan. He's always benefited from, you know, smaller sample size efficiency.
Al-Shaair or Patrick Queen?
That was mine.
Al-Shaair. Heart and soul of that defense.
Steve, how much of that – just this is more of a broad question. You watch them, and you see what they do to teams, and you see how good that defense is. And we all talk about the corners and the edge rushers because that's where you pay the big money. To what degree do you ascribe their success on defense from just the – like the actual way physically they go about just beating the crap out of teams? Because I said earlier in the show, it feels like watching whatever the modern version of the 2008 Steelers defense – would be, right?
Yeah.
Like, where they are just physically trying to intimidate, be violent within the rules, and make every single thing you do, even if it's a positive gain, hurt badly. Because every time I watch them, I come away kind of having that basic thought.
It is absolutely a huge factor. I mean, if you watch Kamari Lassiter at corner, right? Like, we love draft and the draft debates. Everybody was like, oh, he ran a 4.55, or maybe it was a 4.6 at his pro day. And they took him in the second round, and it doesn't matter. He's just a really good football player, and he gets in there and he tackles. You mentioned Al-Shaair, To'o, the linebackers. Jalen Petrie, he's a safety by name, but he was on the all-pro ballot as a slot corner because that's where he plays. And he had the big hit on Rashee Rice a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
That middle of the defense does hit hard. They fly around. They hit hard. They've got a lot of speed. It's absolutely a factor. So you've got the big names, the pass rushers, absolutely lockdown corners on the outside. But the middle of that defense absolutely hits hard, and that's why they are one of the best, if not the best, defense in the league.
Who are you picking, Steve?
What did I do in the game? I think I took Houston. If this was on – I mean, my only doubt is the Monday night thing. I mean, look, Rodgers really impressed me in the second half without DK last week. I think they have an opportunity, but I'll take the Texans in a close game here.
Steve Palazzolo, he mentioned 4-5 when I fell asleep watching that 0-5 Steelers-Bengals playoff game last night, Malzi.
Mm-hmm.
Chad Johnson was talking about how he fell in the draft because he ran a 4-5 at the combine, and he ran slow because he was nervous that day.
Mm-hmm.
But then they also brought up that maybe one of the reasons why he struggled in that game was because he was out tailgating with Bengals fans at noon.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Did you know that, Steve?
I did not know that
story. Yeah,
I'm not surprised.
Phil Simms loved it. Anyways,
not surprised.
Good talk.
Oh,
we'll see you next week, Steve.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.